Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. With me is my co-host and my partner in everything, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you.
And our guest today is a very special, she's a Life West grad, very special person, has a lot to offer us. And I'm going to tell you about her in a second, but it's Dr. Richay Bell from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Richay.
Hey.
Good to see you. Let me tell our viewers about a little bit about Dr. Richay. She graduated in Life West in 2011, immediately went up to Seattle, Washington, and associated for a year, and then came to Spokane or went over to Spokane to start a clinic with the clinic that she was working with, and then bought that out after a couple of years. And then has since then, you know, since 2013, has transformed that into two clinics or two offices. They are Blair practitioner, so they practice a very specific upper cervical technique, and four docs in there. And along with all of that, Dr. Richay served on the board of the ICA. She was the state representative for the ICA for the state of Washington. She's a diplomat in the craniocervical junction. And on top of that, all of this stuff going on in this short, 13 years, she's a mom, mother of two children. She's got a two-year-old named Axe, and she's got a six-year-old named Avi. And of course, she's got a wonderful husband, a very supportive family, and she's just doing amazing things. Her 10-year anniversary is coming up in August, and she's an outdoor person. You know, she skis, avid skier, does everything outdoors, from anything from hiking to skiing to hunting to you name it. And yet she is a loving individual who keeps harmony moving in her life to the best that she can. So I hope that was an introduction that was suitable to you, because I have to tell you, I am inspired by what I just said, and we're going to dive into some of this stuff because we really want to find out like how this all works, right? Mary, you or me going first? What's up?
I'll go first. I love how you threw in the word harmony, right?
That's my word. That's my word. Right now, that's my word.
Well, because Dr. Richay was just sharing with us that harmonistic is your word of this year, correct?
My life word, yes.
I love it. I kind of want to jump in because we were talking, for a few minutes, and you've obviously created just a very successful life and a full life and a fun life. And I want to jump in and talk about your mindset, because we can talk about like the hows and the whats and all that kind of stuff, but I really feel like you have a lot inside of you to share. And you used the word before in a chat that it was expansiveness. I wanted to like have you talk about, how did you create this expansive life?
So the expansiveness or mindset is interesting, because I'm very type A and very cerebral and logical, and almost didn't become a chiropractor because there weren't any double blind studies and it didn't follow the scientific method. And at the same time, I have this like follow your gut, follow your instinct type of thing that I was raised with. And so being in tune with that is kind of, a friend told me I'd be a good chiropractor, what led me to chiropractic, and then understanding that, well, yeah, we do have this science behind it. And, so I can get very much in my head. But mindset is an interesting balance between those things of like knowing what you should be doing, but then also listening to your body and your gut feelings and your instinct. And so I think that blend is really what has led me in the self-awareness to, you know, what I want, what do I want to achieve, but then also how do I want to feel while I'm achieving that? Right. Mm-hmm. Because you can achieve a lot of great things and feel like crap. Yes. And so that's where the harmony comes into play is while we're reaching goals and while we're achieving and having a positive mindset, right, comes with having harmony. So.
But there's a difference, you know, there's so many people that have positive mindsets or they speak positively, but they really don't create a lot. You know, and that's not to say that they won't, but it's just not there, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what that old saying, act as if, you know, and I believe in act as if. I think we got to get ourselves in that of seeing who we want to be, but there's also a humbleness. And I think that, you know, as like you said, you're a type A, you know, there had to be area times when you kind of like, you know, you dip down and then you go back up, you know, and how did you navigate those times?
The thing that has never left is the core value of service first. Yeah. And, you know, who can I help? And I wanted to go into medicine and become an orthopedic surgeon because I wanted to help people because I had my own experience, right? And so when you're navigating and struggling with mindset, you know, if you can keep the core values that you have of service first, who can I help? Then no matter what ups and downs you have, the patient frustrated, yelling at you because some billings or yelling at your front desk because some billing situation didn't go as planned, what have you, you know, you can have a positive mindset around that. And, but sometimes the positive mindset isn't enough. But if you always have the core value of you're doing everything possible to help people, then it helps your mindset and it helps your motivation. It just helps everything get you through those difficult times.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And I agree with you. It's like, you can say all the positive words. There's obviously action to go there, but it sounds like it's like a deeper mindset. And am I correct in saying like, that it's, I love what you said too, like you're very cerebral, obviously. And is it like natural for you to be more in your head and that it's a little bit more of a struggle for you to be like in your gut and in your heart?
Because of the way I was raised, I think I can follow my instincts pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the balance is there. If I'm struggling with something, I tend to go to my cerebral, the thoughts, right? And yep. You know, 80% of our thoughts are negative. We're our own biggest critics. We have tons of negative chatter. We're not good enough. You know, the patient at the front desk is mad at me and thinks I'm a terrible person because I got their billing wrong, or I'm not helping them or whatever have you. And so, so the balance is there, but usually in moments of stress or fatigue, yes. Then I go into that negative, you know, spiral and the cerebral, all the thoughts that are associated. Yeah.
One of the things we always told our kids growing up was it was like, the first thing I'd say is like, go with your gut. And the second thing was, but take your head with you.
Yeah.
It's like, do the head check. Like always go with your gut first, but like bring your head with you too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, like just.
You need both. Absolutely.
You need both. So.
Absolutely. And then Mary, the second thing you would say is.
Nothing good ever happens after midnight when alcohol is involved. And they used to shake their heads. And now, I mean, their kids aren't old enough because they're small, but they now as 30-year-olds, my three daughters say like, yeah, we're going to say that. We're definitely going to be saying that to our kids when they're that age. Because mom, we always thought of you about you when it was like 11:59. They were like, we heard your voice just saying nothing good can happen like from here on out. So,
right.
So well, I think that way now because my body gets, you know, a hangover like no tomorrow compared to when I was in my 20s. And the second thing is I used to be able to sleep it off the next morning. And now my kids are like, hey, let's party at 5 a.m.
Exactly. Exactly. I've got a question that kind of popped up for me. And you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, this will frame my question, but on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give yourself as far as, you know, Dr. Rashe Bell being a driver?
10.
A 10.
Wow.
So quickly, I thought it was going to be a 12, right? how did children, like, you know, when Avi was born, you know, obviously that was, you know, a big shift to a driver, like, you know, and a business owner, woman business owner, right? And all the other stuff. You might have associates at the time, I don't know, but you know, how was that navigated? And what came up from that?
I literally use a driving analogy because being a driver, I thought in my head that there's no way I can have a family and continue to drive my business, you know, healthcare service goals. Because I just at the time wasn't seeing it. My primary mentors in upper cervical were all men. If they were upper cervical, they didn't have children. Mm-hmm. If they were female, or if they did have children, they stepped away from practice or just decided they wanted, you know, their own single practice, you know, just to be by themselves. But I had this bigger dream and goal because I wanted to drive. Yeah. And I thought there was no way I could push the business pedal and the family pedal. So I definitely hesitated having a family because I couldn't see in my head how I was going to make that work, even though in my heart I wanted to. And I knew that I needed to because I wanted to pave that example for other women who are feeling just like me.
Yeah.
How am I going to do this? You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did that do with this, with your expansiveness? Like, because some people could just contract from that, right? And just kind of go, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. And I've got kids and da 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 da, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be kids. I've got, you know, whatever it is, you know, but you kept expanding.
Yeah, I think when, you know, our body wants to survive. And when we see things that are challenging or we can't quite put the dots together, we retract because we want to survive. And that's just our cerebral brain. That is the core of our brain stem, right? And thank goodness we have that because it keeps us alive. Although it also prevents us many times from being the best we can be.
Yeah.
Because we retract in areas of difficulty or challenge, but the magic happens outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're in the gym and you're like, man, this is hard. It's like, I have another mentor. She's like, ... good.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's hard. ... good.
Yeah.
And so knowing that if you can recognize that pattern inside yourself going, I don't know how I'm going to do this. This doesn't, and noticing that and then pushing through, right? That barrier that you may have is truly where the magic happens. And the amount of times that I've come up against that and wanted to do just what you say, you want to go into a hole and hide. But I think that high achieve, that drive, you know, has helped push me through some of those barriers and frustrations. Yeah. And times of being scared.
Well, I love that because, you know, that reptilian brain of ours, right? You know, that survival brain, you notice they just sit on a rock and don't move, or they change color and don't move, whatever it might be, right? And I love what you said because, you know, I'm just thinking when you were saying that, you know, you as a skier going down the toughest slope, like I just can't do that, ... good, go for it, you know? And it's right after that, when you go, oh my God, that's where it's so beautiful. That's when everyone goes, oh my God, I could do more than what my brain thought I could do, right? And the next thing they want to do is go back up on the same thing. Let's do it again, you know, and then keep growing. It's great. Well,
and I think it's hard too, because a lot of times it has to be lived. Like you can have the best laid plan and say like for me, when I was like, well, I want to have kids and be a chiropractor, right? And I could think. And then finally I was like, I know, I'll put the baby in a front pack and I'll just, right? And it wasn't until I had a baby and realized that doesn't work. Like, I cannot adjust with a baby on me, you know? So I feel like a lot of those times, like when you're scared, because you're like, well, how am I going to do this? Sometimes you just have to do it first and have faith that it, and like you did, like you have faith that you're going to figure it all out. You have two kids right now. You have a practice. You, like, you're doing all the things you want to do. You've even, it sounded like you made some pivots too, of things where you're like, you have a certain amount of energy that you said, I have to let go of some things too, because I want to focus my energy in certain areas.
Absolutely.
You couldn't, if we asked you that before you had a family and early on in practice, you couldn't have told us that, right? So I think that's a good message too, of like, sometimes you just have to jump in and just do what you want to do and then figure out how you're going to have the most harmony doing it, right?
And that it's probably not going to be perfect.
Well,
like you think.
And that's a great segue that we can get into. Yeah, because you are a type A. And it's funny, I don't know you very well. I could tell that about you.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know how. The first time I met you, it's like, I liked you. And I was like, this woman is just like, I don't know, something about the way you talk and the way you present yourself. You could just tell you're also an athlete and you hunt and you fish. That kind of makes you badass too. So, yeah. but I kind of want to talk about that too. Like, you know, how has that been in practice of just being a perfectionist, and like, what have you learned from that?
Yeah, I think also perfectionism can prevent you from doing great mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am the type of person who, if I'm going to send a thoughtful text to somebody, I write it and then I read it and I delete and I rewrite. And I could do this for an hour. You know, if I'm really thoughtful and it's something that means a lot to me, or even, you know, a blog post that I'm sending to patients, I can do this to the point that I am wasting time and energy because I care so much. It's like, why am I pouring this in? You know, like, just send it. They'll get the point that you care, you know, and that you're thinking about it. Or they'll get the point that you need to sit up straight and have good posture and not look down at your phone like this. It's killing you. Like, those little tiny things don't matter. So if you're in that mindset of it having to be perfect, and you know what? Social media has taken this to a whole nother level, because now all we see when we're comparing, and then your brain wants to compare and you want to be socially accepted and you don't want to be judged, all mindset stuff, right? Well, if ours isn't quite perfect enough, then I don't want to share. And if somebody might disagree with me, I don't want to feel judged. And then if you feel judged, your reptilian brain goes, I'm going to die. That's how it feels. Feels like you're going to be dying, or you're rejected, right? And you don't want to be rejected from your herd, because that's part of survival. So perfectionism.
And then attacked. Yeah. And, you know, because it's not, and when I say attacked, I'm not talking about just on social media people, but even your integrity, you know,
identity,
yeah. You know, all that, just, you know, that's what deflates, you know, it hurts the most. I mean, people can say whatever they want, you know, but when you attack the integrity and the intention of somebody, is even, you know, it's just kind of like, don't touch my kids. You know, there's boundaries that we have, right? And, you know, you want to do something to me, okay, let's talk, you know. But social media doesn't allow that to happen, does it? You know, doesn't create constructive conversation as much, you know, as it does the negative stuff. And you said 80% of the thoughts coming out of people's brains are,
So Rashay, where are you at with that, as far as like when you were talking about taking the time to write things? Where are you at now? Like, are you... Now, do you just like just do things and get it done? Or would you say it's like it's a work in progress? Like, where are you at with that?
I think it's always a work in progress. One of my favorite challenges was actually during COVID, and it was going around on social media, the Done is Perfect challenge. And so it was like 30 videos or something. And that got me over my hump, because I would like, you know, pull up the phone and see myself and I'm like, you know, doing all, oh, I need a little more, the lighting's not quite right, I got to have the angle, you know, and I'm trying to, there's something else in the background over there I don't want people to see, you know, so I'm like, and then that challenge, I'm like, just done is perfect, you know, and so it was definitely a mindset shift, but it was uncomfortable to put myself out there.
Yeah.
So Done Is Perfect helped me get over that feeling of fear and rejection, and this is uncomfortable. So rather than retracting, I made a mindset shift of now Done Is Perfect. So I didn't even, that helped me just send it. But I think the magic is in the middle, because you do have to care. And, and in order to be successful and have it land and have it be received, there has to be a good intent and some thoughtfulness behind what you're saying and how fast it's coming out, you know, and the pause. So it's a balance. It's, you know, a harmony of those two things for sure.
Yeah. Well, step into the pause, because I think that is a cool topic, right? You know, just talking about the pause. You know, what's it mean to you?
Two things come to mind. One is children. One is certain things in practice that happen. So for me, being type A driver, as we've clearly established, people who love Enneagrams are like, they love profiling me. You're an Enneagram such and such, you know.
Like, do you know what your number is?
What?
You know what Enneagram number you are?
What do you think?
I don't know. I only know a certain number. I only know like my family's numbers.
Right.
I definitely know.
I honestly don't know. I think you're like somewhere, because I've done it before. Like,
yeah.
But if I told you, I think I wouldn't be, I'd be 50-50. Okay. So we'll let people guess.
Yeah, because there is one that's like the driver. I just don't remember if it's like a 3 or a 5. I know I'm a 9. I'm a peacemaker, and I'm totally.
Oh, that's definitely not me. Yeah.
That's definitely not you.
nor me. And I allow Mary to be a number 9 to create peace with all the chaos that I can create. Right.
That is so true.
Good match.
Hey, but keep going. Creates harmony. Keep going. The yin and the yang.
Yeah, keep going. You were talking about that. You were talking about.
So the pause, this is so valuable. I mean, we talk about this like when we're public speaking or talking to friends, I have a tendency to just, you know, but there's, you know, when you really engage with somebody, they pause and they let you think, right? Like the good public speakers. So in life, I think I was never a pause person. I would go 100%. And if there's one thing kids taught me, it's the pause.
Yeah.
And that level of surrender, of letting go of that drive and achieve, because they have a different plan, you know? And so pausing and recognizing and seeing where we're at has allowed a lot of, you know, gems, I would say, to happen, or good things to happen, because that you guys can relate to this too. You know, you get, I'm a head butter with kids. Well, or my spouse, right? It's like my husband, on the other hand, something will happen and he's like, squirrel. So my kids are all upset and he can derail them and they're good to go now. They like totally forgot. Me, I'm like, why are you doing that? What are you doing? Stop doing that, you know? So we're the yin and the yang there too, with the personality differences. But if I can pause for a second, if I just pause, then I can actually create a good scenario, you know? And I think we do that a lot in life. We're like trying to achieve and trying to drive and trying to come up with the answer and the solution. But if we just paused and allowed calmness and stillness, then one, we would see it's not that big of a deal. And two, we would actually have a much clearer answer or, you know, solution to that.
Right.
You know, that what's coming up for me from listening to you, and I'm like right with you, is there's an old saying that the music is between the notes. It's not in the notes. It's between the notes. And that's just exactly what you're saying. It's like the message is between all the this and this and whatever it might be, you know, typing. It's just that. Yeah, it's beautiful. And hasn't children, I mean, they must have slowed you. I mean, you had to have met your masters, because, you know, you cannot win. You know, the old saying, choose your battles wisely. You know, you cannot win an argument with the 2-year-old when they're holding poop and you're saying, that's not mud, that's poop. And you're not going to win that argument, you know.
No.
That had to be great lessons, you know, coming in for, you know, for a driver, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think being a type A, I like things organized. I like things on time. I like things predictable, and I like to be in control of them. Yeah. And so children are none of those.
Yeah.
I will say my first child transitioning from that where I was to who I became was a struggle. Yeah. That finding that balance or harmony. I mean, becoming a mother, people are like, oh, I just can't wait. A lot of people are like, I was born to be a mother. I never had those feelings because I was afraid of I wasn't in control. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I couldn't, you know, all the things. Yeah. It's like, how am I even going to do this? You know? And so that transition was a tough time of learning how to pause in the practice and surrender. I was able to take 3 months maternity leave. I thought I was going to lose my mind. Like, what am I doing? You know, I'm not sitting here achieving, even though I was achieving keeping a baby alive. That's not where my brain was, you know? So.
Big lessons.
Big lessons.
So you kind of mentioned that too. Like, so you talked about kids. How does the pause, like, tell us about the pause in the practice and in the business. Like, where have you flourished with the pause there? And what did that feel like?
I constantly, again, want the practice to be growing and achieving. And I remember a statistic in school being thrown out that, you know, you're good in business if you're increasing production or collections by 10% every year. Like, you should be, you know, going up and up, right? These numbers. And, or I've heard it from other industries too, you know, like, you want to have 10% growth year over year. Right. Well, that's great. But when you add a child into the scenario, I tried to do everything I could to continue that, right? And so with my first child, I was like, I still want to achieve 10% year over year. So this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. And I think that created a lot of unwarranted stress. It didn't have to be that way.
Right.
Because I wasn't being okay with a pause. And actually a win at that time would have, and I think should have, it's always easier to connect the dots, hindsight's 2020. A win would have been if we could just sustain.
Right.
I mean, if I'm going to take 3 months off and I could still sustain, that's like a home run. Yeah. But instead, I like, you know, I always want to take the bar to the next level. And so, so the pause now is what, you know, I learned that from having Axe, you know, second time around, it's like, I'm okay. Maybe even with a little dip. Yeah. Because I've, you know, like, that's realistic. That's normal. This is life, you know, and it doesn't, adding those outside pressures of what everybody else thinks is, you know, success, is really hard on us, you know? Yeah.
And you're right. There is that narrative of like, where are your numbers at? And if you ever said, oh, I've dipped a little, I mean, 99% of people are like, ooh, instead that of sucks. Like, yeah, but look at your life. Like, you just brought another human into the world, right? And Ron was great at that. Like, when in our practice, we looked at stats every week. And yeah. If our stats were climbing or we had like a really good growth week, I would be like, this is great. Let's do it again. This felt great. And Ron, do you remember? He would look and he'd go, no, let's keep it at that number now for like a month or 3 weeks. And I'd be like, so we're going to stop growing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was kind of addicted to the growth.
Yes.
You remember that, Ron?
Oh, sure, like, me too.
He's about taking
we can't sustain it if we keep going up like this. Like, he's like, what, are we going to grow 200 visits in a month?
Right.
It was all about taking the pressure off, you know, because you can't grow under pressure, right? You're going to contract, right? That's what we talked about. The reptilian mind goes in there. So you hit an area and you see practices. They'll go from 150, 160, poop, to 175. And then they'll settle back down like around 170 and poop, poop, poop. And, you know, it's all about life is lived on the plateau. It's not the peaks, right? But we live for the peaks. And that's the pause. And that's exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's like live your life in the pause right there in the practice and gear toward going up. And then, you know, then take the pressure off, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, this has been
amazing.
This
is so true for patients. Think of patients and their healing. This, yep. It is not like this.
That's right.
Right? They progress and then they dwindle. And then what can happen if we don't educate them that this is where the magic happens, because you're reframing for the next level of healing, right? Then they say, oh, I'm not getting any better, I'm done. And they quit, yep, before the magic happens. And we do this as people, right? Because we fear something or we want to give up because it's uncomfortable. But if we know this is what's innate that happens, and we all think this way, we can help our patients be more successful and leave our patients such a greater trajectory of growth and reach new heights that they never even knew they could achieve in health.
Absolutely. You know, and if chiropractors would tell their patients, educate them that the healing takes place between the visits. That's right. The pause, right? The healing takes place. The music takes place between the notes. The healing takes place between the visits. But so don't come in here just looking for that. But it's the visits upon visit upon visit that allows that healing to take place in between. So that's beautiful.
Well, wait, hey guys, I just thought of one thing.
Yep.
Thought of one thing. It's like when they do stop care because they plateaued and we get mad. But what we just said was so true. We model that for them. We model that the plateau is not okay.
That's right.
And we tell them like, no, 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 why are you stopping? But it's funny that you just said that. Like, but we model that in our lives for them. And then we get mad when they do it. So.
Yeah. And we don't tell them what to expect.
Right. Right.
Instead of saying, yeah, I mean, you don't like drop 50 pounds just like this, you know, or you don't put muscle mass on just like this, you know, always at the beginning, there's massive change because from where you start. But then, yeah, the pause is what we have to teach. It really is.
Yeah.
Man, we could go on and, but this is beautiful. But Rashay, we got to come to an end. And I have a question to ask you for our Life by Life West guests. We always ask a question. It was different last year. We changed it this year. It's very simple. Whatever innately comes to you, just say it. It could change in an hour if we called you. If I called you and said, hey, it could totally change, which is totally cool because there's no wrong answers. I know, you know, you're a Life West grad. Our ethos is lasting purpose, giving, doing, loving, and serving out of one's own abundance, right? Out of those four words of give, do, love, and serve, which one at this moment right now in your life relates to you or hits you right now and why? Give, do, love, or serve?
Love. It goes along with the perfection. And so it's loving others and loving ourselves and having grace for ourselves and having grace for others. And right out of school, it's serve, serve. Serve, serve, serve. And actually, you know, our life word as an office this year is serve. So I think as an office, that response would be serve. But for me personally, I'm my own biggest critic too. And having that love and that compassion for myself is probably the hardest. I want to, you know, give it to everybody else, including my patients. Mm-hmm. So love.
I love it.
I love it too.
I love it. Well, listen, it's that time, and it's been wonderful catching up. I mean, we haven't talked to you since 2021, and it's just been wonderful to see the expansiveness. If I was having a son, I would call you and say, can I please, I would love to use the name Axe. I think it's so cool. And Avi, for Avalanche.
Avi, yeah. Avi.
It's just beautiful. And so, but thank you. And thank you for what you're doing, you know, for the profession and how you're modeling, because it's so important to have models, especially for women, you know, chiropractors coming up who think I can't do this or can I do this or da, da, da. And what you just talked about today is can do anything, you know, it's, you know, let that reptilian brain protect you when you need that protection.
Real danger.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you. And Mary, thank you. I could have just sat and just listened to you guys the whole time. But, you know, I also want to thank our viewers. Thank you for coming, you know, week in and week out. As you know, we drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop our Life West Leadership Line. But these are so inspiring, and there are so many people out there, you know, not just women, men also, that need to hear this. They need to hear about the pause, about the perfectionism, about the grace that we have to give ourselves, as Dr. Rashay exquisitely explained. So pass this on, because you know what? There's people out there right now that are thinking, I can't do it, or whatever's going on in the reptilian mind. But most of all, you know, thank you for doing what you do to make this world a better place and to create a brighter future for humanity. Because, you know, chiropractic extends so far beyond just our own little offices and our own little hamlets and our own little towns. It's about making this world a better place. And all of us are doing it together, because not one person or one group of people can do it alone. So thank you. And until we come at you the next time, just know that we love and appreciate you. Remember that everything takes place, or at least 99.9% takes, the lessons take place during the pause, right? And take some pause in your life, take some grace, and we will see you next time. From Dr. Roche, Dr. Mary, and myself, we'll bid you adieu, and keep loving those around you and hugging those around you and telling people that they are much more powerful than they were ever led to believe. Talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.